Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, listeners, to the Dynamic Dojo Show with Tita and Robert. Tita Robert can't be with us tonight because he's driving a celebrity car in the Hollywood Holiday Christmas Parade tonight. We'll miss you today, Tita Bob, but if you get a chance to call in, we'd love to hear from you. So have fun, Bob, and I want to see some phone vids or pictures from you if you can swing it during that parade. Our call-in number here at the studio is 347-677-0699. And if you're calling in with questions for any of our guests or comments, please make sure you press 1. Otherwise, I'm just going to think that you're listening to the show, because not only can you listen to the show from our Blog Talk Radio link, but you can actually also listen by just calling the number and listening straight from there. So to prevent any confusion for me, please make sure you press 1 and it bumps you to the top of my queue, and I'll know that you're wanting to speak with us. So we've also got our chat board going on our Blog Talk Radio live feed. So if you have any questions and you don't want to call in, you can go ahead and type your questions in our chat board. We've also got our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page up. So you can also check that page and put your questions in there as well. And if you're not a member of our Facebook page, you can go ahead and look us up there on Facebook. It's facebook.com/groups/dynamicdojo. And with that said, speaking of internet sites, our network does have a website. Our show, The Dynamic Dojo, is on the Seika Network, and our website is Seika Network. .webs.com. That's S-E-I-K-A network.webs.com. And if you're actually interested in joining our network with your very own Blog Talk Radio show, all you have to do is email me at dynamicdojoradiohost@gmail.com. And if you're a professional or a practitioner in any field of health or fitness, martial arts, sports, or any other good-for-you hobby or activity, we welcome you to the network. We'll help you get started. If you email me to get some information, I'll help you get trained on the studio board. All you need is a phone and a computer, and you'll be all set. So make sure you email me if you want to join the network with your very own radio show. So before we get started with our news of the week and our new segment, trivia question of the week, I want to bring in our special guests and guest facilitators today. We've got three facilitators that are going to be helping us with our subject today on our open forum, which is alternative and supplemental therapy and the athlete. So first off, I'd like to bring on our first guest. This is Lynn Yancha from Century Massage and Body Work out of Renton, Washington. How you doing, Lynn?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Awesome. And our second facilitator today is Cassandra Ledine, who is an acupuncturist and owner of Spirit Path Yoga and Wellness in Anchorage, Alaska. How are you, Cassandra?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here. Thanks.
Awesome. And our third facilitator this evening is Amanda Lyon. She's a clinical Ayurvedic specialist and the Ayurveda director at Kanyakumari Yoga and Wellness Center in Glendale, Wisconsin. Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm so happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you guys on the show. This is going to be a really fun subject to talk about, and I'm hoping our listeners, if they have comments or questions about any of these therapies, or even if our listeners are practitioners of other supplemental or alternative or holistic therapies, I hope they call in. And again, our number here is 347 677 0699. So with that said, let's get into our news of the week. So in our martial arts news for this week, unfortunately we have some sad news. Just this past week, Professor Ronald Duncan had passed away. Now, for my friends that are martial artists, they might be familiar with Professor Ronald Duncan. He is credited as being the father of American ninjutsu, and he was one of the driving forces behind the proliferation and the popularity of ninjutsu in the United States. I don't know if everyone out there remembers the ninjutsu craze of the 1980s, but Professor Ronald Duncan was one of the people that helped make ninjutsu popular. There was also O-sensei Stephen Hayes and O-sensei Masaki Hatsumi and Sensei James Laureaga that helped bring to the forefront ninjutsu as it really is, as opposed to the myths behind it. Mr. Duncan was one of the people that actually, you know, brought ninjutsu in its, I guess, its popular sense to America. So O-sensei Duncan had extensive experience in such disciplines as Hakoryu Jiu-Jitsu, Dainippon Jiu-Jitsu Ryu, Sosuishi Ryu, Kindai Gakoryu, excuse me, Aikido, Aiki Jiu-Jitsu, Kenpo, Kobujitsu, which is weaponry, Shinobino Jitsu, which is popularly known now as ninjutsu, quote unquote. And among his teachers were legendary people on their own. His teachers included Charlie Neal, Ernie Cates, Tatsuo Uzaki, and Don Drager. So our thoughts and condolences go out to the family and students of O-sensei Ronald Duncan. Another luminary in the martial arts and fighting world. Now, some people wouldn't consider this person to be martial arts, quote-unquote, but I figure anything that has to deal with fighting deals with martial arts. So I want to talk a little bit about Hector Macho Camacho. Now, Hector was a star, basically, at the pinnacle of boxing throughout his 30-year career, winning several world titles over that 30-year career. And unfortunately, he died yesterday after being ambushed last Tuesday and shot in a parking lot in the Puerto Rican town of Bayamon, where he was born. And that kind of sucks. He was just sitting in a car with his friend and just ambushed, boom, shot in the face. And over this past week, his family had agonized as to whether or not to remove Hector from life support. And they made the decision to do so yesterday. So the boxing world has lost a great fighter, and our condolences go out to the family of Hector Camacho. So, yeah, that's kind of depressing news. Oh, man. So let's move on to the health and wellness news of the week. There was a recent study posted on the Journal of Neurology that supports and suggests that exercise may be more effective at preserving brain integrity and staving off Alzheimer's than just brain games, you know, so like crossword puzzles or Sudoku and stuff like that. The study, and I've got the link, and I'm going to go ahead and post that link to this study in the Journal of Neurology on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. But it pretty much talks about the effectiveness of exercise and working out at protecting the brain's faculties. A little bit more than cognitive challenges. Now, this is not to say that brain games do not work. Of course they do. But rather it suggests that strengthening the whole body as a whole is more effective than, let's say, just sitting around and thinking you can stave off, you know, Alzheimer's by just doing Sudoku. So I'll be posting that link on our Facebook Dynamic Dojo page a little bit later. And next on our news, I found this really cool story courtesy of NPR. And since our show tonight is about therapies for the athlete or just therapies in general, I want to feature this particular therapy. And this therapy is not just for athletes, but for anyone for mind and body and soul as well. The story is about MMA, mixed martial arts, as a therapeutic activity for veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder. I think yesterday or a couple days ago, I actually posted the actual link to this particular story via NPR. And this story actually aired on November 22nd. But I just want to take about 4 or 5 minutes and actually play the actual audio for our listeners, because it is pretty interesting. So here's the story about MMA and PTSD.
Two long wars have left a legacy of psychological wounds among those who served. Just consider this number. 500,000 veterans have made benefit claims with the VA for post-traumatic stress disorder. Hundreds of thousands more who served in Iraq and Afghanistan are expected to file in the next year. There are treatments, the most common involving medication and talk therapy, and then there are ways of coping that those suffering from PTSD come up with on their own. Samara Freemark reports on one of them.
Once every month, Kyle Dubé drives to the Spartan Academy gym in a dusty strip mall in Tempe, Arizona, to meet up with his mixed martial arts team.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing, bro?
Dubé was a combat army medic in Iraq. He did 3 tours during some of the worst fighting of the war, and many of the guys he's meeting tonight are also combat veterans. They're here for a fight night.
Am I going against you?
I know, man.
Mixed martial arts is a cross between kickboxing and wrestling, 2 minutes of often bone-snapping, teeth-crunching brawls, and Dubé's got the list of injuries to prove it.
See, I got an open dislocation of my finger. I tore my MCL. I've broken a rib, broken my nose, popped my shoulder out the other night. Everybody makes fun of me because I just get hurt all the time.
That's what Kyle's known for.
But Kyle Dubé also has pain that's less visible. After his second tour in Iraq, he was diagnosed with PTSD. He suffered from insomnia, depression, anxiety, flashbacks. He slept with a loaded pistol on his nightstand and an assault rifle under his bed. He says he was always angry.
You feel it just spreading into your arms, into your fingers. Your pulse starts just racing. And you just want to scream. And I didn't know how to get rid of it.
First he tried whiskey, then he tried bar brawls. And then he did what the experts tell you to. He asked for help. Not easy for someone coming from the bruising world of the battlefield. Dubé took his meds and he went to therapy, which helped him a lot. But it wasn't a total fix. Dubé says there was still this bad energy inside him, and he dealt with that the day he first walked into the Spartan Academy and started fighting.
I felt better, I felt happier, less stress, less anxiety. I felt great.
Mixed martial arts isn't a replacement for other therapies. It's a coping mechanism, Dubé's own personal way to make himself whole. Tonight, Dubé is fighting Justin Hayes, a vet who did a tour in Iraq as a Marine sniper. Hayes is scheduled for a PTSD assessment, but in the meantime, while he waits, nights like tonight work for him.
Hanging out with friends, beating the crap out of each other, there's nothing more fun than that. You got drama at home, you got school, you got homework, but when you're on the mat, nothing matters. You know, everybody has their own different way to cope with things, and I guess fighting's mine.
All right, Jane, you got the lineups?
Yeah.
Dubé and Hayes enter the ring. They shake hands, the buzzer sounds, and they go at it, kicking, punching, wrestling, strangling. They look like they're trying to kill each other. Jeff Funicello is the coach here, and he says no matter how violent this all looks, what's going on is actually kind of
therapeutic. You know, I think it's just therapeutic for him.
He says he's seen it again and again in the veterans who've passed through his doors over the last decade.
This is clearly not for everybody. I mean, who wants to do this? These guys are nuts. But when they're in here, you find a way to put order to something that's disorderly. The anxiety, that buildup, boom, it goes away. And I think overcoming that makes them feel good.
Spartan Academy isn't the only mixed martial arts group working with veterans struggling with PTSD. There's another one in San Diego. Joe Westermeyer is a psychiatrist at the VA Medical Center in St. Paul. And while he's careful to say that mixed martial arts is decidedly not therapy, it could be therapeutic.
Part of PTSD involves a loss of control. And so what I think people are doing is they're exposing themselves to a fear and then trying to re-exert that sense of being in control of themselves.
The match ends. Hayes and Dubé leave the mat.
Pretty well gassed. Had a good fight, dude.
Tired.
I'm hurting. My arms hurt.
Tonight, they'll leave the gym with scrapes and strains and bruises, but they'll take with them some hard-won peace of mind. For NPR News, I'm Samara Freemark.
And this story was produced in association with the Public Insight Network.
All right, and that's a story originally aired on November 22nd. And I kind of like the way that it was presented. It may not be a therapy, but it could be therapeutic. And as a martial artist myself, I wholeheartedly agree because I know if I'm not doing martial arts, I tend to get a little weird. And I find it to be a very good therapeutic activity myself. So, yeah, that was a great story. And let's move on to, we're at the trivia of the week. Woohoo! So, this is just something I'm trying out this week. I just want to see if it works, and I think it'd be kind of cool regardless. The trivia of the week, there'll be a trivia question every week, and the first caller with the first correct answer, not necessarily just the first caller, you have to have the correct answer, will win the trivia of the week thing. But there is no prize. There's just bragging rights and the opportunity to be a guest host on an upcoming show. So here is the question of the week. Which lake in the world is the only lake in the world that has sharks? So if you're the first caller and have the correct answer to that question, what is the only lake in the world that has sharks, call in 347-677-0699, and we'll be taking callers here for the next 15 minutes for the trivia question. So, Lynn and Amanda and Cassandra, unfortunately, if you know the answer, you guys don't count.
Because
you guys are already guest facilitators. So.
Yeah. You won by default.
You guys won by default. So we'll see if anybody calls in. And if nobody calls in, I'm going to be kind of disappointed. No, if no one calls in, I'm assuming it's because people, you know, just haven't had the chance to listen to this show live. But if they listen to the archive, if no one calls today, the first person that posts the answer to the Dynamic Dojo radio show page on Facebook, and all they have to do is post the answer. And if they remember the question, too, that would be great. But the question, again, is, what is the only lake in the world which has sharks? So they can just post their answer on the Dynamic Dojo radio show page. And if you're the first right answer, you get to be a guest host with me and Sifu Bob Deal on an upcoming show, probably even next week's show. So speaking of which, since we're talking about Facebook, I want to do a couple of Facebook shout-outs. I want to do a shout-out to Facebook and YouTube user Elastic Steel. Elastic Steel has great videos on strengthening, stretching, and conditioning for better flexibility and performance for not only the martial artist, but for any athlete. So if you want to check out Elastic Steel's videos, just go to youtube.com/user/Elastic Steel, just like I was spelled, Elastic Steel. Just look up for that profile. Or you can just go to Facebook, facebook.com/elastic.steel. So that's a little bit different on the Facebook thing. It's elastic.steel on Facebook if you want to type it in. Or you can just look up Elastic Steel. So shout out to Elastic Steel for great videos. I've watched them. They're great. Another Facebook shout out goes to regular contributing author on examiner.com. Now, examiner.com is a place where people can post articles on all sorts of stuff. But Violet Lee is a regular contributing author on examiner.com, and she happens to be a Tai Chi practitioner. She practices Chen style Tai Chi with my grandmaster, Grandmaster Chen Zhenlei. And her latest wonderful articles about Tai Chi fitness and health can be found on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook group page, so, and on examiner.com. So if you go to examiner.com, just look up Violet Lee, Violet like the color, and Lee, L-I. So wonderful writer, wonderful Tai Chi practitioner, wonderful articles. Go check that out. Oh, hey, we're at Weird News.
Oh, okay, this is going to be fun.
Weird news. This is, oh, my goodness. I love this part of the laws. What's that?
Weird laws.
Well, we're going to get the weird laws because it's part of the weird news.
Oh, it's a different one. Okay.
Yeah. So with the weird news, I kind of want I want to talk a little bit about this story that I call the real life Angry Birds.
Oh my goodness.
Now this story aired just before Thanksgiving, as a matter of fact, which is why I find this so funny. So this is about, I guess, like a big flock of aggressive turkeys that terrorized this neighborhood in Brookline, Massachusetts.
I don't know.
You don't, oh, just, yeah, just before, just be, you don't blame them? Okay, so apparently residents of the Massachusetts town of Brookline said that aggressive turkeys have been attacking people, vehicles, and even the front doors of homes.
Wow.
I know, right? So I guess there was this animal control officer in Brookline, Pierre Verrier, that said that complaints about turkeys have doubled during the past 2 months. And this is according to WBZ-TV Boston that was reported this past Thursday, which happened to be Thanksgiving. And Mr. Verrier says some people are going to work and they've been chased by turkeys. Can you imagine going to work, like getting out of your car and then having this big turkey chase after you? I'd be running through.
They're pretty big in real life.
Yeah, you know, and I've never, you know, I remember seeing live turkeys. I forget where I was. I think I was at a zoo or at a turkey farm. And I was like, are you serious? They're pretty big. They're, like, bigger than the tires on my car. I mean, they're big, you know. And me being pretty short, I look at that and go, you know, I'm sorry. Any bird that comes up to my waist is going to be dangerous. But the animal control officer, Pierre Verrier, says that he's been spending nearly every weekday morning protecting students at Brookline High School from the real-life angry birds. And
wow.
He said sometimes they even take a tennis racket to try and shoo them out. And a resident there in Brookline, Karen Halverson, she said that the birds have attacked her truck and her front door and have attacked her, have physically attacked her. They've caused scratches to her face and neck. And she's trying to work with town officials to organize a meeting to discuss the problem. So Karen Halverson says, "I can't believe we're living this way." So there we go with the real-life angry birds. That sucks. I mean, I shouldn't be laughing at it, but it's just the way that it sounded. I mean, big turkeys. I don't know what I'd do if a
and
big flock
right
of turkeys.
And just right after Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, man, that's crazy. So that was from the Annals of the Weird News. So let's move on to weird laws. Let's move on to weird laws real quick, and we'll take a little break. So last week, Sifu Robert brought on weird laws. And personally, I love weird laws. I think, you know, even though these weird laws are not on the books anymore, a lot of the weird and odd laws still are written on the books. So I'm just going to pull a couple from Washington and California. So in Washington State, there's a law that says that no one may set fire to another person's property without prior permission.
Nice.
I know.
But see, here's the thing. Does that require everybody who lives in that house to give permission, or just one person?
I don't know, but, you know, no. Knocking on their door and going, excuse me, can I set fire to your home? I mean, it's like, what?
At least they're really, you know, considerate.
Yeah, I know, right? Excuse me, I'm going to set fire to your house now. I don't understand. So, yeah. So here's another one from Washington State. It is illegal. I can't even say this. It is illegal to carry a fishbowl or aquarium onto a bus because the sound of the water swashing may disturb the other passengers.
Oh, nice.
But it is legal in Alaska, so guess what I'm doing tomorrow.
Just be careful. It's not below zero, Cassandra.
Oh, gosh. Oh, remind me that if I ever have to move a fishbowl or an aquarium and I don't have a car, then I should just walk.
Yeah, just walk or use a bike.
Oh, God. That's awesome. Right. Okay, here's a couple from California, the state where Sifu Robert, our co-host, is from. It's on the books in California that nobody is allowed to ride a bicycle in a swimming pool.
Woo!
So
I've always
make sure
that
you don't
that.
Do that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, you know, I wouldn't mind trying, you know, like, you know, doing the swinging off of a big, you know, rope and stuff like that on a bicycle or something, right? You know, but, just make sure you don't do that next time you go to California Coast Classic, Lynn, when you do your gig down there.
Yeah, I'll definitely let everybody know that because that's illegal.
Yeah. and then, this is one of my favorites, and it's a good thing that I don't bring these into California because I'd be breaking the law. You are not permitted in California to wear cowboy boots unless you already own at least two cows.
Wow.
No.
Right. You're not permitted to wear cowboy boots unless you already own at least two cows. So, so I haven't broken the law yet, so I just got to make sure I don't bring cowboy boots to California next time I visit Sifu Bob.
I'm pretty sure somebody's breaking that law somewhere.
Can you imagine, you know, here's this She's this guy that's visiting from, like, Texas or something like that. You know, he's got the hat and he's got the boots and stuff like that. And then, you know, what's going to happen is a CHP, you know, going to pull him over and go, hey,
show me your
paperwork. I know, exactly. Show me your paperwork for your two jobs. I'm sorry, we can't wear those. Well, I ain't got other shoes. Well, then you're going to come with us. I mean, what the heck? I don't know. Oh, before we get into, because I know Lynn has some weird laws, I think, that
yeah,
you had mentioned. But before we get to those, I want to remind our listeners that we've got a few minutes left on our trivia question. If you're the first person to call in or put on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page the answer to this question, what is the only lake in the world that has sharks? If you post or call us with the first correct answer, you get to win bragging rights, something to talk about over the water cooler, and you get to be a guest host with us on an upcoming show. So, Lynn, what are some of your weird laws before we take a short break?
Well, I want to say I used to live in Alaska, lived there for 19 years, so I can say these things, and I, you know, living there for 19 years, I never knew these laws. But anyway, here's one of them.
Okay.
Even though it's legal to hunt bears in Alaska, it's illegal to wake a bear up to take picture opportunities.
I'm not going to break that law.
I would either.
Yeah.
Oh my
god!
You wake a bear
wow.
up. You just take pictures.
Oh
and
my gosh!
Guess, during the winter time, right? You can't wake them up in their
yeah.
their sleep. So that's one.
Okay.
Here's another one.
Oh
it is,
no!
It is considered an offense to push a live moose out of a moving airplane.
Oh my god!
Think of that.
Oh,
these are huge.
Yeah, that just brings me back to something has to happen sometimes for these laws to come in place. So I'm just thinking.
Somebody has to think about doing that to say, hey, you can't do that.
I know. Oh, that's so crazy.
No pushing moose out of airplanes, folks, in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That's all right. Well, so listeners, if you're in Alaska, just make sure the next time you're on that, you know, that ultralight, don't push that moose. Well, I guess if you're in an ultralight, you better not have a moose in there. Don't those things weigh like a ton or something like that?
I don't think that'll fly with a moose there.
Oh, I know. It's kind of like, oh, my gosh, that's crazy. Anyhow, let's just take about a minute and a half for some PSAs. I want to remind our listeners about our trivia question. What is the only lake in the world that has sharks? Call us up at 347-677-0699 or post on the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show. Or you can post on the chat board. I see people are, like, logging in and stuff like that. So, you know, first correct answer that posts gets to be a host on an upcoming show. So let's just take a minute and a half for a couple of PSAs. Baby,
hey, everybody. Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Packers.
Vikings.
Red State.
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown. downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities. The building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And now, on with the show.
Welcome back, listeners. If you've just tuned in, you've tuned in to the Dynamic Dojo Show here on Blog Talk Radio on the SACA Network. Our call-in number here is 347-677-0699. And, so far, I'm still waiting on callers or posters on our Facebook page or on our chat board for answers to our trivia question. But I'm going to go ahead and leave the trivia question on the Facebook page and on the chat board here in a second. So no rush, people. You don't have to answer today. But the first correct answer gets to be a host on an upcoming show. So anyhow, let's get to the forum, the open forum of our show. So if anyone out there in the listening audience has questions at any time for any of our guests, please, you know, please call in. And again, we've got our guests, Lynn Yancha from Century Massage and Body Work here in Renton, Washington. We've got Cassandra Ledeen, an acupuncturist and the owner of Spirit Path Yoga and Wellness in Anchorage, Alaska. And we have Amanda Lyon, clinical Ayurvedic specialist and the Ayurveda director at Kanya Kumari Yoga and Wellness Center in Glendale, Wisconsin. So what I'm going to do, ladies, is I'm just going to throw some questions out there. I'm going to start with Lynn, and we're just going to go down the line. We're going to go Lynn, Amanda, Cassandra, and I'm just going to throw questions out there, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to go ahead and start with Lynn. So I'm sure our listeners have heard about massage therapy, but I guess what some people would want to know is, you know, what's sports massage? One of your specialties is sports massage. So yes. What exactly is, what is it, and what's the difference between sports massage and, let's say, therapeutic massage?
Well, therapeutic is more of a general name for it. It mm-hmm. falls under that, but the thing is that with therapeutic massage, there's also the relaxation and Swedish deep tissue, and sports massage is basically a different modality. And what sports mm-hmm. massage does is focus on the muscle groups and muscles of that particular sport. So if, say, mm-hmm. a swimmer, then they would most likely be using a lot of upper body, and the massage would be focusing on the massaging and elongating the muscles of the upper body. Runners
okay.
would be mostly legs, but they still need a lot of massage on the rest of the body. But, yeah, most of the muscles being used are the legs, core, glutes, hamstrings, quads, mm-hmm. those like, kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, with the name sports massage, the name would connotate that, you know, one would have to be an athlete to get sports massage. Now, does one have to be an athlete to receive sports massage, or would it be also helpful to the weekend warriors out there that don't exactly work out every day?
Weekend warriors. the athletes who are actually training for their sport are much better equipped with the stuff that they're, you know, what they're doing on a daily basis, because they do that. They train mm-hmm. for it. They get their body used mm-hmm. to it. Weekend warriors Well, they most likely sit in an office, most likely sitting in front of a or behind a computer, doing a lot of sitting or a lot of standing, not really using their muscle to do a lot of activities. And then all of a sudden, the weekend comes, and they think they can run a mile in 1 minute.
Right, right.
So they are the ones that actually get into more of the injuries because of the fact that they don't know how to, you know, with an athlete, professional athlete, they know how to warm up, they know how to cool down, they know how to stretch.
Mm-hmm.
With the weekend warriors, they think that they're in their 20s again, or the teens, and should be able to run a mile without warming up, without stretching afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So the massage definitely will help them. And another thing with sports massages, there's pre-event, which is a very quick 10 to 15 minutes worth of massage to get blood going into the muscles before they enter their event. We have the post-event, and that can be as long as whatever, you know, as short as 10, 15 minutes, but usually, you know, the 30 minutes or so. And then the intra event, the in-between event, to get them, make sure that they are getting the, I can't think of the word, but getting into that, their body into, you know, I'm losing words in my head now. I can see everything in my head.
It's okay. I do the same
thing.
You know,
part
no,
of the
like,
training, basically.
Right. Okay. Cool. Now, let's, because I'm trying to get what you just said. I'm going to try to apply it to Cassandra and Amanda. So let's move over to Amanda, who is our Ayurveda specialist. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about Ayurveda, you know, like a short history and what it is? Because I'm sure that there are listeners out there that have heard of it, but don't really know what it is. So if you could tell us a little bit about what Ayurveda is, that would be great.
Yeah, no problem. So Ayurveda is the ancient form of healing from India. And, you know, it's the sister science of yoga. So originally, yoga and Ayurveda were always practiced together. And so yoga being, you know, that physical activity, you know, side of things, and also having that, you know, the ultimate goal of yoga is spiritual evolution. And so Ayurveda was this healthcare side where, you know, it's like the Ayurvedic practitioners would help the yogis to stay healthy and strong, and then the Ayurvedic practitioners would use the yogic practices for their spiritual growth and evolution. So they were always originally done hand in hand. And the goal of Ayurveda is to help you understand who you are in the most in-depth way possible. And we use that, we speak about it in terms of three doshas, vata, pitta, and kapha. And so depending on your natural body type and your imbalance, then you are given different tools to learn how to live your life so you can kind of find your own personal optimum state of health, happiness, well-being. And those kinds of therapeutics we use are, you know, looking at healthy diet, looking at proper exercise, looking at relaxation techniques, working through all five senses. So we also use aromatherapy. We might use different kinds of sound therapy or working with colors. But really, we're pretty open to saying, well, I'm going to work with you. And it's really all about whatever you need. And it's never the same for two people. It's always their individualized program.
Oh, very, very cool. Now, with the doshas, you know, pardon me if I get this assumption wrong. So depending on what dosha someone is, Ayurvedic treatment could be, could the treatment be in a way like personalized for each person?
Yes, it's very different. So if somebody has a, for example, if somebody had a kapha imbalance will tend to make somebody more heavy, lethargic, and sluggish. And, you know, to combat that, we would really want to get somebody moving, to warm them up, to have them invigorated, doing more work, you know, actually doing more aerobic exercise. And the exact opposite, if somebody was a more vata person, you know, a vata person would tend to be getting thinner and would be fatigued. So both doshas experience fatigue, but for a vata, the solution would be to actually just get more rest and to nourish themselves, whereas for a kapha type person, it's the opposite. It's actually to be moving and getting a little bit more activity going to take care of the lethargy that way. So it really is always about, you know, what's happening for you as a unique individual, rather than just looking at, you know, a symptom and saying, well, you have this symptom, and here is the treatment for that symptom. It's like, how is that symptom manifesting in your unique body and your unique constitution? That's what's really important.
Oh, good. So in short, it's almost about balance. Am I correct in saying that a lot of the treatment is making sure that people are sort of in balance in relation to their dosha?
Yeah, each person has a unique mix of all three doshas of the vata, pitta, and kapha, and you may have one or two that are stronger, that are much more prominent. And, you know, the process of working with Ayurveda is understanding what is my doshic balance, where am I supposed to be, where am I out of balance, how do I, you know, change my life so that I can find that place of harmony and balance in my life so I can feel like my best self, and then to continue that process and learn how to stay there rather than, you know, feeling like, okay, I'm done, I got it. It's pretty much...
Right.
Practice that continues for the rest of your life, because even though we may make, you know, a place in our lives where we feel stable and we're doing the things to take care of ourselves, well, still everything changes around us all the time. So the seasons are constantly changing, you know, the things are moving, things are happening, nothing is ever constant. So Ayurveda stays fluid in your life so that as you need to have changes and new things come up, well, the practice goes with you, and it still continues to support you. And, you know, a practitioner helps you to understand the different ways you can flow with all the changes in your life as they come up.
Very cool. Now, what I'm liking about this subject is that so far, and we're going to get to you in a second here, Cassandra, what I'm liking so far is that that there's a common thread so far between the therapies that all three of you practice. So with that in mind, Cassandra, can you tell our listeners a little bit about the history of acupuncture and how it works?
Sure. A lot of what Amanda said actually applies in regards to acupuncture and Chinese medicine as well. So acupuncture has been around for at least 2,500 years. A lot of people believe it originated from China. It's been practiced in a lot of Eastern cultures and, of course, Western cultures as well. And it's been one of the most popular forms of medicine around the world. And really come to the U.S. in the last, I guess, since the 70s. Excuse me. And acupuncture works. I practice five-element acupuncture, so my primary interest as a clinician is to help create balance and harmony living within the seasons, living in natural cycles through the day, living in accordance with your own biorhythms and your body's wisdom. So I'm very interested in supporting someone holistically so that we can work into disease prevention as well as health maintenance and working on anything that's already a concern in a patient's eyes or in my awareness. So acupuncture can be used for that holistic care. It can also help with somebody coming in, say they have a shoulder rotator cuff tear or a knee injury or proprioception issue. or they might have a number of other issues. A World Health Organization has recognized a huge list of conditions that have been proved through controlled trials, and it's cardiovascular, respiratory, reproductive health, mental health, the list goes on and on. So I do have a lot of people coming in with symptoms in mind, and that's usually what gets people in the door is a sprain or a, you know, something wrong structurally, or pain, headaches. So that's what gets people in the door, and then hopefully by the time they leave, they get that this is a much deeper process, and there's a lot more to it, and it's really about making those lifestyle shifts and self-awareness. Building tactics. So as we're in treatment, we start to wake up to what our body's really asking for. We start to say, oh, I'm not attracted to eating this food. I am attracted to going to bed earlier, as well as the support from a practitioner being able to say, according to your constitutional type, you may consider this form of sensory therapy or this particular dietary therapy. So that a person can be supported and feel that they're being held through through a lot of different approaches and that they are developing accountability for their own health.
Okay. So it sounds like with even sports massage and through acupuncture and through Ayurveda, it really sounds that these therapies and health practices are more preventative. I guess it focuses on the client or the patient practicing in a preventative manner, right? As opposed to being reactive and going, "Oh, I broke my ankle. I'm gonna go see an acupuncturist." Or you know what I mean?
So both definitely apply. And most people come in for acute symptoms or something that's been chronic, and you know the doctor hasn't figured it out, or maybe it's post-operative or. But really, the higher goal is to use it as preventative as well.
Very.
Yeah,
cool.
I would have to agree with that with Ayurveda too, because you know we definitely see people have their broken ankle, they go to the emergency room, and Ayurveda works so well as a preventative medicine. It's just one of those difficult things to gauge because you don't really know what you're preventing if you've prevented it.
That's true.
I understand about the prevention, but now since they know that they've broken their ankle, in my massage experience, you're preventing them from doing it again.
Can help people with those, like the long-term recovery and strengthening the body so it doesn't happen again. All of us get those kinds of clients.
And certain constitutional types are actually prone to certain kinds of injuries. I've seen time and time again. Or if there's underlying weaknesses that may lead to acute injury, we can work to strengthen people to prevent that pattern from fully developing.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lynn, have you ever do you get very many patients that or clients that actually only come in because they've sprained something or been in a car accident? I mean, do you get a lot of people that would never consider, like, massage therapy or, in Cassandra's case, acupuncture or Amanda's case, Ayurveda, unless, you know, they had an injury? I mean, what do you ladies,
I'll say
you know,
that I
what
do
kind
have
of clients
those
do you get?
Types of clients, yes, but the thing is that unfortunately, or fortunately for me, but once they come in my office, I do give them speeches, and they don't want to hear my speeches. So they come in as regular as they possibly can. And those that don't come back, well, I never hear from them. Or they probably have somebody who won't give them a speech.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that's kind of what that wasn't my point. But I found that do you guys feel that people tend to maybe, how should we say, not necessarily avoid your guys' treatments because they're afraid of getting a speech, but do you guys find a lot of times that maybe they don't consider you guys professionals? I mean, do you find that clients, some clients don't consider you guys as viable health professionals as opposed to like an MD, right? Because you guys, you know, don't prescribe quote unquote medication that comes out of a pharmacy. I mean, does that happen a lot? Do you get that air from people where people go, well, you're not a doctor, don't lecture me? Does that happen a lot with you guys at all? Or,
well, I know there's a cultural shift happening, which is that I know back in, let's see, I think it was about 1998, 2000, I think they took a poll and 50% of doctors were comfortable referring to acupuncturists. So I think that's a pretty good, given acupuncture was introduced to the U.S. in the 70s, I think that's a pretty good, you know, support from the medical field. There's a lot of integration with Western medicine. And I think it depends regionally where you are. So I think there's sort of pockets of culture throughout the country. I haven't seen too much resistance in my practice. I think the resistance does exist, and it's people like education. They definitely like that foundation of studies and Western thinking. People really like sort of like, you know, I'd like to see numbers before I put myself on the line, you know, to know if it's really worthwhile. So, and, you know, I think the best voice, though, is knowing your friend or neighbor that had a positive experience or a really profound experience. Most of my patients end up being word-of-mouth referrals, and I know that both Amanda and Lynn are fantastic practitioners, and anybody that's near either one of them, absolutely check them out, whether you think you have a reason to go or not, just get in. Mm-hmm. And I think there is some of, you know, still unknowing culturally.
Yeah.
I agree with what she said. Most of it is basically the myths of what massage does, and people think massage is just for spa stuff and light stuff and go to sleep stuff. It's starting to actually pick up now because of the fact that in the state of Washington, our license here as a massage practitioner is actually a medical license. We are now being taken really seriously now, to a point that the way we do our continuing education, we now have 4 hours every single, you know, every 2 years of talking about ethical stuff, how we're supposed to use our massage license and how to differentiate taking tips on some of, you know, because we are considered like, I mean, you don't tip your doctor, you don't tip your dentist, so tipping your massage therapist in the state of Washington is starting to kind of look really bad now unless you work in a spa in which it's just paying in cash or paying, it's not insurance or a medical type of massages. So, and the fact that the AMTA, the American Massage Therapy Association, has done surveys in which a lot of the doctors, a lot of the PTs are now having the therapies coincide and work with other massage therapists. And they're referring people to massage therapists.
Very cool. Very cool. What I like to hear is that, you know, conventional Western medicine practitioners are really opening the doors to their own patients and referring people to Ayurveda, acupuncture, acupressure, massage therapy, and other types of supplemental therapies. And I like hearing that because when it comes to conventional, like Western medicine, and I'm going to ask all three of you this, I'm just going to talk about it a little bit, is the thing that I feel some people might be skeptical about is about these methods places within the Western medicine realm. You know, the people that think that, you know, the only way to get better is to, you know, go the route of Western medicine, take a drug, right? Some people might feel that practitioners of such alternative therapies, they might have this, you know, misconception that alternative therapies would replace Western medicine, which you know, I know is a misconception. With what they feel is woo-woo medicine, you know, and I've met some people like that, you know, where you know, people would go, oh well, you know, and I don't know why they try to call me out on Tai Chi. I don't know why they think it's a therapy. I mean, I think it is therapeutic, but they're like, ah, that Tai Chi crap doesn't work. How's that going to help me with my performance? How's that going to help me, you know, be a better pole vaulter and stuff like that? And they go, oh, that's woo-woo, right? But, you know, in my opinion, I do believe that, you know, such therapies such as Ayurveda, herbology, acupuncture, massage therapy, and all that are indeed helpful, supplemental, and do have a viable history. Now, you know, I mention to people all the time that, you know, traditional Chinese medicine and stuff, you know, already had an idea of how the body works when Western medicine, as we know it now, was in the age where they were still cutting into people's skulls, you know, or putting mustard plasters on people that didn't work, or, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, really, that's, you know, there's your Western medicine, you know what I mean? Well, that was back then. I'm not talking about now. Now, a lot of people will argue, well, you know, the technology is better now and stuff like that. But I do believe that, you know, supplemental and alternative and holistic therapies are a great supplement that works, you know, hand in hand with Western medicine. And so do you guys feel that, you know, there's like a big misconception that you know, these alternative therapies would work, you know, would be a replacement for Western medicine?
Well, you know, I think
in a way.
No,
I don't think so.
We get, you know, Ayurveda is still, you know, we're still it's a non-licensed profession, and we don't mm-hmm. accept ignorance. And a lot of the times the people that I get, it's not always the case, but I see a lot of people, and the reason that they're coming to see me is because they are frustrated by their medications. You know, the medications have side effects that either make them feel worse or the medications simply don't do what they're supposed to do, and they're very frustrated, mm-hmm. and they've gotten to the place where, you know, Western medicine it's not making them better. Western medicine only has limited pharmaceuticals, and, you know, Western medicine is great for acute care and for when people need it, but for more long-term actual taking care of the body, you know, it doesn't mm-hmm. offer a lot for people. You know, it doesn't have those long-term solutions that a lot of people are really looking for. So by the time many people come to see me, they're just like, well, I see this isn't working. Maybe you've got something that works. It's like, yeah, well, people have been doing this for at least 5,000 years, so there's a reason for
that. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's something
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, because, you know,
You know, I think there's always going to be people who are skeptical, but by the time somebody comes to see any of us, I think they are willing to try, and they're willing to be open-minded about it, because many cases, it's like they've tried other options, and they see that it's not really giving them what they're seeking for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
In my experience,
actually, I've had physical therapists refer people to my office because they know we can work with them because it's mostly soft tissue that we need to work with. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. they've been giving us their clients or referring us clients after they've plateaued, and they expect us to do miracle within a couple of weeks. And so I've
mm-hmm.
it comes to educating also the Western medicine thinking that we can work better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think we lost Lynn. Lynn, call back. Lynn's phone completely dropped. So we'll see about her calling back. So with that said, I just wanted to. Oh, is that Lynn? There she is. Okay.
I have no idea
where you
what
are.
I have no idea where
you
are.
Went.
No,
we missed you.
Static, 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 and then blip. And I go, what happened?
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. But, you know, that happens sometimes, you know, especially if your phone is on a Wi-Fi network and stuff like that. Sometimes it happens. But it used to happen to me a lot, and sometimes it still does. But you were saying, Lynn?
Oh, that they usually send us the clients at when they hit plateau, and I've been educating the PTs to send us people at least within the month or two that they've gotten those clients, so that we can work with them, because we've done some great results. And the thing is that if they wait until they plateau, most likely by the time we get them, we can't really do too much as far as rehabilitation is concerned. So they're starting to send people to us. But what I'm finding out in experience is they're seeing more result coming from my office than from their office. So, without me telling them anything, next thing you know is they're just seeing me and not the PT. But I do believe in having different therapies working on people. Not all of it would work, and not one may not work, one may work. And I feel that it's a combination that works for people.
Okay. Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about a little more about specific athlete issues. Now, some athletes out there with the repetitive motion of what they do, if someone's a pole vaulter, but what do they call those big spear like things that people throw? I completely went dead for the. I wanted to say that. That's not it. Somebody tell me via text message or something on the Dynamic Dojo Radio. You know, the things that look like spears, not lance. It's not pole vault. It's, anyhow, so let's just say you have a
javelin.
Javelin, thank you.
Cassandra, I heard Cassandra.
Dang. I just went completely brain dead for a second there. Oh, God. Okay, so let's just say someone's training hours upon hours upon hours, with a javelin and stuff like that, and then, their shoulder's starting to hurt. It starts to turn chronic, okay? How would each one of your therapies address chronic pain? So we'll start with Lynn, and then we'll go to Amanda, and then we'll go to Cassandra. So, Lynn, how would you address chronic pain with an athlete?
Well, that depends. Most likely, yes, it is chronic, but it's also when they come in my office, it might be acute at that time. We might not be doing a lot on that, depending on where they are in the inflammation spectrum. Most likely doing a lot of icing and moving it about and making sure that the person knows that they need to not use it as much and to ice it a lot. And to move it within range of motion, within pain tolerance, so that as the joint is starting to heal up, and that the adhesion will be, forming within that range of motion. So it doesn't have to, whenever they use it, it won't traumatize that area again, to lessen the trauma.
Right.
So, yeah,
because I remember when I injured my shoulder. It wasn't anything all that bad. It was just it felt like my rotator cuff was oh my gosh, right? And it was like that for about 3 months. And, physicians told me, don't move it. Basically, put it in a sling when you're doing your martial arts, basically don't move it, right? And, And then what you're saying is to keep it within a range of motion to keep the flexibility going, correct, Lynn?
Yeah, you've heard of RICE, right? RICE, it's a,
right.
an acronym.
RICE.
Rest, ice, mm-hmm. compression, elevation. Actually, the new mm-hmm. one is called MICE. It's
MICE.
Movement. Yeah, movement,
ice,
compression, and elevation. Because if you don't move it, it will heal in that non-moving area. And by the time you want to
right,
use
it'll
it,
feed.
What? You're already tearing those adhesions. You're traumatizing it once mm-hmm. more. That's how it becomes
So
chronic.
That would explain, would that explain why a lot of people need physical therapy when they're like, let's say, like they break their leg or something and they're in a cast that doesn't allow them to move? Like a jointed area of the body or something like that for, like, let's say a month or two, or in some injuries, three, you know, would that be, you know, a guess as to why some people would need physical therapy afterwards?
Well, by that time, 2 or 3 months after, you know, being in a cast, you're actually
mm-hmm.
immobile by then. And what's going to happen is you have to traumatize that area, breaking it little by little and making sure that as it heals, you're moving it and then breaking it again
mm-hmm.
and moving it until it can actually go back to as close to the range of full range of motion it can be, and that takes a lot longer. It's best if
mm-hmm.
If they move it as it heals within range of motion, so that at least they have some use of it.
Mhm. Okay. And Cassandra, how would you address chronic pain with an athlete?
Well, what my goal is to make sure the chi is moving smoothly through the fascia, the muscles, the tendons, that everything's free and accessible. And either you'll see deficiency patterns where it's sort of like ache, or excess patterns where there might be more of that spasm, swelling, contraction, stiffness. So we, what I do is I do treatment with needling, so you'd go for tender areas, and there's, you know, mm-hmm. of course, a lot of different thoughts. So you can do channel, the meridian therapy points. You can do off channel, so you're going right into the areas. You can needle into trigger points.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to needling, we also do a technique called gua sha. So it's a small
mm-hmm.
stone or plastic, you know, blade is a very strong word, but it's an instrument, and you would put topical, some sort of lotion, a barrier on the skin, and do a gentle scraping technique to help raise the sha or the stagnation in the tissue to the surface. It's a very quick way to gain back range of motion. I also do cupping. There's a traditional fire cupping and then more of a suction cup. So the glass ball that you would place on the back, and it actually helps draw out the stagnation again from the tissue, and following that up with topical ointments, herbally based formulas, and then internal formulas as well. And I typically recommend, depending on the severity of what's going on, I might have somebody come in a few times a week for the first few weeks. But if it's not impeding greatly with function, I might say 6 sessions weekly or, you know, a little bit more in the forefront. So that's my general approach.
Awesome. And Amanda, how would an Ayurvedic practitioner address chronic pain?
So in Ayurveda, we hold this viewpoint that the body has essentially incredible ability to heal itself. So my focus is going to be on seeing what needs to happen to allow this person's body to heal itself. So number
mm-hmm.
one, if somebody's in, like, physical pain, you know, I want to see, you know, what else they've done. So, you know, with Ayurveda, we really like to refer to other practitioners if it's appropriate. So if I really, you know, if I feel like somebody has, you know, neglected to go to physical therapy or to a chiropractor or to a massage therapist or to an acupuncturist,
mm-hmm.
I feel like one of those therapies would be really beneficial, I will absolutely
mm-hmm.
recommend. Because I know some of those therapies can be very quick with helping to reduce pain level. And then I look at,
mm-hmm.
well, what's going on in your life? You know, what is happening with
mm-hmm.
your digestive system? You know, why is your body still holding on to this pattern? And so it's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
now let's get you eating a better diet. So when you eat food and you can digest it properly. It's the right food for your body. We're working with building up your digestive system with herbs. Well, then your body is able to form healthier tissues. That's a slower approach, but it's one of the ways that we go in. Depending on the state of inflammation or pain, we might also look at herbal formulas specifically for the musculoskeletal system or for the nervous system, depending on what's needed to help bring in that strength and kind of calming down what's going on. I'd also be looking at deep relaxation techniques such as yoga nidra, ways to build body awareness, or looking with meditation even, so people can start paying more and more attention where if they are still physically active, to start saying, you know what, pay attention to when you really need to stop. One of the hardest things for athletes, I think, is just knowing it when it's time to back off. Athletes push and sometimes they need to find, you know, work with that meditation, that deep relaxation, so they can even start paying attention to the messages their bodies are telling them before it's too late. So it's just that, oh, wait, I'm feeling that soreness coming on. I should stop now before I'm in a full spasm.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of that as well. I've been guilty of the athletes, no pain, no gain, type of thinking. And, much like what all of you were talking about, I'm a Tai Chi practitioner and a Qigong practitioner. So much of what you guys are talking about does make sense. And I now understand that, having, practiced Tai Chi for over 20 years, that, that awareness of your body makes you a little bit more aware of when things might not be, all that cool with your body, and to pay attention to that and to not, ignore it because, I'm not going to be tough if I, give in to, that strained muscle, right? And it's good to hear from other therapies that, treating the person as a whole and as well as the athlete, paying attention to themselves as a whole instead of treating or paying attention to the symptoms only. It's really refreshing to hear that from you guys. So thanks for all that great information. Let's go ahead and take a short break so that way everyone can get a drink or do a quick bathroom break or something like that. Does that sound okay, you guys?
Yep.
Great. Okay. Great. So let's return in about, 4 minutes. And in the meantime, I'm going to put on a little Oldie But Goodie by the Brothers Johnson.
All right.
Welcome back, listeners. If you're just now tuning in, you tuned in to the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show with Rosita and Robert. Our guest call-in number here is 347-677-0699. So, and we've got Amanda Lyon, a Ayurvedic practitioner, Cassandra Ledeen, an acupuncturist, and Lynn Yoncha, a massage therapist, on our show talking about alternative therapies and the athlete. So, Cassandra, Amanda, and Lynn, are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Awesome, good. Okay, so I was just dancing around earlier.
So was I.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I made sure everything was on mute, too.
Oh, good, good. Awesome. All right, so let's get back to some questions. Have you guys ever, I mean, I know that you guys get some references from, like, let's say, MDs and chiropractors and physical therapists and stuff like that. But in regards to the athlete, do you guys ever find that clients are referred to you specifically by their athletic coach?
No.
Lynn? No?
not that I know of. If I had anybody from the coaches to send people to me, I don't know. Most of the people who've referred people are folks that are in my office and like the work, and then they would refer their friends, and usually they work out with their friends. So,
Awesome. And Cassandra, do you have anyone that have you ever had anyone that was referred to you by, like, a martial arts teacher or an athletic coach or a gym teacher or
martial arts instructor, yes, but and certainly people through the world of yoga and chiropractic, yes, and traditional MDs, yes, but not so much athletic coach, but I would really enjoy that kind of work tremendously.
Yeah.
Amanda, how about you?
I have not had that happen, but I've had people referred, you know, from their coaches, you know, for yoga, but I think that a lot of people just don't even know about Ayurveda yet either.
Right. Yeah, well, you know what? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Go ahead.
The students to me, like if they have a student who's working with a deeper injury that they feel like I could help with, so I've had that. That's come up. But not quite the same.
Oh, very cool. You know, what I find is interesting is that, you know, just based on my experience and knowing a lot of martial artists, it almost seems, although I'm not going to get too general here because, you know, I don't want to get flamed here on the internet or anything like that. it almost seems as if people that are in activities or sports that do involve body awareness, like martial arts, like Tai Chi, like yoga, that kind of thing, tend to suggest these types of alternative therapies. And that's just my, and again, that's just my observation, being that I'm a martial artist. Yes, I've played other sports, you know, like soccer and softball and volleyball, you know, regular sports. But as being a martial artist all my life, I found that for the most part, there's a lot of people that I know that are experts in, like, body awareness type of activities that tend to tend to suggest massage, herbology, diet, Ayurveda, acupuncture, acupressure, and stuff like that. Would you guys venture to say that that's what you might be noticing as well, or is it pretty much just, you know, people like hit a plateau or injure themselves and go, well, I've tried everything else, I should probably try these things. Have you guys ever, you know, noticed that that people with body awareness skills tend to
move a little more toward supplemental and alternative therapies? Lynn, what do you think?
Oh, yes. It's a topic that I've been kind of wanting to talk about, and hopefully the stuff that we talked about Sunday for a possible show topic.
Before you get into that, let me say this for all the listeners. There is the possibility that Lynn Yancha might be joining the Seika Network with her own show. We had a little meeting the other day about her interest coming on to the Seika Network, which is the network for martial arts, fitness, and well-being. And, I figured, Lynn, if you want to be part of the network, we'd love to have you on the network because your type of show with your experience and your profession would fit extremely well with our network. I just want to send the word out there to all the listeners again that if you want to be a part of the Seika Network, just email me, Dynamic Dojo Radio Host at Seika Network. Or sorry, I don't even know my own email address. Dynamic Radio Host. I know, right? I do. I've got like a bajillion Gmail addresses. Dynamic Dojo Radio Host at gmail.com. Email me and let's get you started. Let's go to the Seika Network. So that was my little plug for Lynn's possible show. So now you have to do the show.
You'll be on my call list. the thing is that I've been doing massage for 13 years, and even as I was getting started, I was finding out the things not to do as a massage therapist, and my back started hurting. And I've done, yes, I am aware of posture, body, and all that stuff, but you can't exactly do that 24/7. But here's the thing. Going to Sifu Restita's Chen Tai Chi 2 years ago actually made me more aware of how I was actually holding myself. And because of Tai Chi, I basically have actually lowered my table even more so. And I am a lot better with how I use my core as far as when I'm pushing or doing deep tissue stuff, elbow. And if anybody can watch me work on my table with a low table, it almost looks like I'm doing karate or some kind of body move. It looks like it hurts the person, but of course the person will tell me if it hurts too much. But yeah, I basically look like I'm doing Tai Chi on them.
Oh, very cool. And let's see, Amanda, what are your thoughts on, about people that are in body awareness arts? Because, yoga, right? I mean, that's a body awareness art. Do you find that other body awareness type of skills, tend to make people gravitate more toward these types of therapies?
I do see that. I think I get a lot of people interested in Ayurveda and, who do have, it's essentially some spiritual kind of connection. It's like they're looking for something else, and I think even just, Ayurveda, I think it seems like the newcomer on the table. People don't know about it as much. Mm-hmm. It's gaining popularity rapidly. It's not out in the mainstream yet. And I think what's happening is that yoga has been around in the United States long enough now where people they know what yoga is for the most part, even though there's still some misconceptions. Mm-hmm. But people kind of know it's a thing, and they try it out, and then if people really get that spark, like people who really enjoy yoga, at some point they realize that there's a lot more. And if it's my Ayurveda school, if yoga is this great and it comes from this whole system, well, maybe Ayurveda is actually really great too. So many people are drawn to it. Even for myself, I was a yoga teacher first, and I kind of learned a little bit about Ayurveda, but being a yoga teacher even, students started coming up to me after class constantly and asking me about their healthcare issues, you know, and it's like, well, mm-hmm. I have some questions from yoga, but it was like, you know, what, like, take some echinacea, I don't know, like, try some things out. And mm-hmm. one day I realized, it was like, you know what, I want to know more, because there are lots of people who want to know this information, and I don't have the tools to share it. And I think there is just mm-hmm. this growing awareness everywhere, as people start to feel that connection inside. It's like they want to find that, like, true health, you know? What does mm-hmm. real health mean, and how is that connected to my personal happiness? You know, what is that really vibrant person inside that I can be all the time? How do I get there? And I think mm-hmm. it's, you know, all different kinds of alternative therapies that help, you know, anybody to find that place in themselves.
Awesome. Awesome. Cassandra, what are your thoughts on the subject of people with, yeah.
Well, I see a couple different things. For me, it's, I probably have, it's probably half and half for me, people who want to come in and, you know, help get aid and repair from their disorder or their pain. And then I have a group of people who come in who have that self-awareness. They already are on a path of health and self-care, mm-hmm. and they're active and they're introspective, and they're really looking for gaining something greater. And that can range all the way from wanting to have that radiant health to, you know, having this mixed into their awakening process, which I think is what Lynn and Amanda are speaking about too. So, you know, mm-hmm. the acupuncture aids in the ability to be more present in the moment. It aids in that ability to be living as, you know, with a meditative quality. So I think that the acupuncture in general, that it's mainstreamed enough that I do see patients come in for a range of different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Now, and I'm sure it's probably, you know, happened people asking you about this or voicing their opinion on this, but just out of curiosity, you know, what would any of you or all of you tell someone, because like earlier we were talking about people that are skeptics, right? What would you guys tell someone that you know, is, you know, skeptical about these particular types of therapies or any other type of supplemental alternative therapy, the types of people that want quantitative scientific evidence about the proof that it works, right? And, you know, as someone that's experienced a lot of alternative therapies, you know, I know they work. Could I put this stuff in a test tube and say, here, this is why? Probably not. And that's why, you know, there are a lot of skeptics out there. You know, how would you address a skeptic and still be nice? let's start with Lynn. I mean, in my case, you know, I've had people come up to me and go, well, Tai Chi isn't a viable fighting art. You know, you have to learn this art and that art. You got to do MMA or something. This and that art is the best. Tai Chi isn't going to work. And I say, yeah, punch me. And they end up on the ground. That was Tai Chi. That was Smith Creeps Down. Anything else you want to know? And that's not too nice. Right? So how are you
doing? Demonstrated, you know, you're demonstrating how it actually works.
Right.
Well, for me, basically the only difference, if somebody is telling me that it doesn't work, and I say, you know, I have clients that say it works for them. Hey, it works for them. I'm not making a claim that it works for everybody, and that's the difference. Because I'm not making a general claim that it works. Hey, it can work. Mm-hmm. I can help, or I cannot. It might not. I might not be something that they need. But I'm not going to tell anybody that massage really works. I mean, it really works for some, and it doesn't for others. And that's the difference.
Cassandra?
Yeah. So when I am faced with somebody who has a skeptical presentation, usually for me it's about presenting information, speaking into what their concerns are, but also emphasizing that I don't guarantee anything because it's really about their body doing the work, and the body heals in the way that it needs to. So they may come in for a sprained ankle, and they might stop smoking. They might have headaches for a while. You know, it's, there's no way for me to really predict how their healing path will start to unfold. And so I also like giving them resources, and a really good resource for people is Acupuncture Today. There's a website. And they have plenty of articles you can look up about all sorts of subjects, and it's written for the practitioner, but there's plenty of stuff on there for people to navigate, and you can type in specific disorders or questions. So it's acupuncturetoday.com.
Acupuncturetoday.com. Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And Amanda, how would you address a... Oh, wait, then I forgot who I started with. Amanda and Amanda. There we go. Oh, my gosh. Because I started with, I'm going with my switchboard here, and I went backwards. So, anyhow, back to Amanda.
So, interesting with skeptics, you know, if I encounter somebody who's very skeptical about Ayurveda, I try to first kind of assess what kind of a skeptic are they. And, you know, usually you can tell by beginning these conversations. I try to start educating them about Ayurveda. And there's, you know, there's like two kinds of skeptics. There's the one who is skeptical because they are uninformed and they really are curious.
Right.
They will engage you in conversation and, you know, they're usually very interested. The other kind of skeptic is the kind who's just not going to listen to you or believe you no matter what you say because they've already made up their mind.
Right.
The best way to address those types of skeptics, just say, you know, it doesn't seem like this is the right thing for you, and that's okay. You know, particularly with Ayurveda, a lot of the healing process involves, I'm going to tell you to do stuff, and you have to go do it. I don't So, you know, it's really up to you. Like, you have to make the change. But normally if I start, you know, kind of going into, well, this is what Ayurveda does. You know, it's like if something is too hot, we're going to try to cool it off. We look at your digestion. We look at the formation of healthy tissues, you know. We say there are different foods that are going to work for your body. The only way you'll really know if it works is to try it. But, you know, I can say that in all of my practice, you know, every single person who does what I tell them to do, you know, they consistently all have seen improvement no matter what it is that they've come in with. I've never had somebody who does what I tell them to do and sees no change whatsoever. Everybody always sees some improvement, if not a complete, you know, whatever you could call a cure to be. You know, how far it's going to go, it's kind of up to them because it depends on how far they're willing to make a change in their lives.
Right, right. And that's a good point that you bring up, is that, you know, dealing with some skeptics myself is that a lot of times, like we had briefly touched on earlier, some people want, like, I want it to work now, instantaneous results type of thing, right? And that's where, you know, medications, you know, come in, you know, and I'm going to talk about, you know, drugs and pharmaceuticals and stuff like that in a little bit later. But I've found that people that don't want to make a particular change to aid in their recovery are the most skeptical, right? You know, like, Lynn, didn't you, I'm not trying to call out any of your clients or something, but I know that you've, in a sense, prescribed, quote-unquote, Tai Chi to some of your clients to help them with their posture, yeah?
Well, with their low back problems and stuff like that, yes, because it helped me, and then I've actually showed them in the hallway how to do the slow walk. It looks kind
and
of funny.
And it did, you know, and that's cool. And what I think is cool is that, you know, from what I've heard, some of your clients are actually practicing that. But then there might be people that go, oh, yeah, that was nice, you know, but I don't have the time to do what Lynn told me. Or I don't have the time, you know.
Yeah, just like what Amanda was saying, I show them how to stretch. I show them how to do some of these Tai Chi standing meditation, even using a wall so that they don't fall backwards or anything to that effect. They're very appreciative. They know what we did in the session worked. I just want to make sure that it held. And the rest of it is up to them. And they can't pay me enough to remind them to do what they need to do in order for them to heal.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. Thank you for bringing that up. Because unfortunately, and I'm not talking about all people, but unfortunately there are people out there that are looking for that instantaneous, you know, I'm going to go to the doctor and I'm going to get a drug and that's going to help. That's going to, like, get rid of my pain. Well, yeah, it's going to get rid of the pain, but your shoulder is still going to be, your rotator cuff is still going to be messed up. You know what I mean? It'll mask the pain rather than addressing the whole issue, internal as well as external, because, you know, I'm a firm believer, and I'm sure you guys are too, that even your attitude and your mindset has a lot to do with recovery and healing. Thanks for that information there, Lynn. I just noticed that we're getting close on time, so I just want to ask just another couple questions. Number one, and I'm sure some people would want to know this. Insurance. Do you guys take medical insurance?
Yes.
So we'll start with Lynn.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And Cassandra.
Depends on the insurance. Okay. They don't pay for massages all the time.
Right. So it depends on the insurance and whether or not you're listed as a preferred provider or something, right?
Or depending on the employer, because they pick the benefit, and massage may not be that, in the benefit.
Okay. Got it. And Cassandra, do Ayurvedic services, are those payable by insurance?
Oh, for acupuncture?
Well, for Ayurveda, sorry, Ayurveda.
Okay.
Amanda.
But she's an acupuncturist. Let's see.
Yeah, so Ayurveda, right now, there are no insurance providers taking it, so the people who... That's the thing, is I generally get people who are actually very interested in changing their health because they do pay out of pocket to see me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Cassandra, you said yes to the insurance, right?
Yes. At the moment, to the best of my knowledge, TRICARE doesn't cover, Aetna doesn't cover, and Medicaid doesn't cover. But I know it's mandatory to be covered in the state of California and Maryland. So I know that there is a shift kind of occurring where all insurance companies are mandated to provide coverage for acupuncture for their patients in California and Maryland. So I'm thinking we'll probably see that spread through the country.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
awesome.
In order to be covered by insurance, one must have a medical license. For instance, in the state of Alaska, one of seven states that do not license massage therapists, they are not covered. They are basically under like a chiropractor. So through the chiropractor's license per se, they can charge for massages.
Okay. Very good. Last question. How can our listeners get a hold of you guys if they have any questions or if they happen to be in the Seattle, Renton, Kent, Auburn area or the
Anchorage, Alaska
area or Anchorage, Alaska? How can they contact you guys? So, Lynn, how can people contact you?
Okay, me. Okay. Renton, Washington, just 20 minutes south of Seattle, and they can go online at www.centurymassage.com. That's century as in like the 21st century. Or they can call us at 425-228-5217.
5205?
No, 425-228-5217. And they can also schedule online. It's on our website.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't hear it right because my headset, I have one of those weird noise-canceling headsets, and it cancels at the most inopportune time.
Okay.
And Cassandra, how can people get a hold of you? Is there a website for your clinic?
Yes, we have, it's spiritpath, that's P-A-T-H, yoga.com. Mm-hmm. And so if you Google Anchorage and yoga, you'll probably find us. It's spiritpathyoga.com, and the main number is 907-334-YOGA.
Oh, cool.
And,
that's easy to
yes. And we also we have our health clinic there, alternative health clinic, and we have our yoga program there as well. So we have yoga every day, and throughout the day we have Tai Chi, Qigong. And then we also have our Ayurveda practitioner program. It's a 2-year program. So that's the Spirit Path Ayurveda Educator Program. You can also find it on our website. And Amanda is the director of our program as well.
And
oh,
I'm hoping
cool.
to be a guest therapist there next year sometime.
Oh, yes, that's right. Lynn is coming up to teach several courses in the Anchorage area. So if you are a practitioner looking for CEUs, we'll also have some programs designed for the general public. If you just want to learn some massage techniques, it should be a fantastic experience. Lynn has high credentials, so we are very excited that she's coming to share her skill. Thank you, Lynn.
Oh, no, thank you, Cassandra.
Yay. Awesome. And Amanda, how can we get a hold of you on your website?
So, you know, so I work, you know, you of course can reach me through Spirit Path. I'm in Anchorage, and I'm traveling to Anchorage on a regular basis to be available working with patients and teaching classes. And you can also reach me in Milwaukee at Here's the good one, tanyakumari.us, and that is spelled K-A-N-Y-A-K-U-M-A-R-I, Tanya Kumari, and that's .us. You can also email me at amanda@tanyakumari.us. And you're welcome to send me any questions that you may have. You know, I teach my classes again. Anchorage and Milwaukee. I see clients in both areas, and I also work with people over the phone, over webcast too, if you're in another location and you want an Ayurvedic consultation.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for being a part of tonight's show. It was a very interesting and informative talk, and I'm hoping that all the listeners that were listening live got a lot out of it. We still didn't get any takers on the trivia question. What's up with that?
I looked it up online.
I know the answer. I'm not telling.
I know. Don't tell anybody because I want to see if the listeners out there want to answer it. Now, I think that some of the listeners are not answering because they don't necessarily want to be a host on an upcoming show. So, you know, if you don't want to be a host on an upcoming show, that's okay. You can just have bragging rights. Get some bragging rights from the Dynamic Dojo radio show. What's the answer to what is the only lake in the world that actually has sharks? Post it up on the Dynamic Dojo radio show page or on the chat board on the Blog Talk Radio thing within the next minute, because we're going to be gone in a minute. So anyhow, thank you. So thank you so much, Amanda and Cassandra and Lynn, for joining me. And thank you, listeners, for joining us this evening. I hope that there were some athletes out there and martial artists or anybody else out there that had gotten some great information and gotten some myths and misconceptions cleared up. So join us next week as we have more martial arts, health and fitness news, weird news, the new trivia question of the week, and our featured guest, Master Chris Cadanian. So thank you again, Amanda, Cassandra, and Lynn, and we hope to talk to all the other listeners next time. We'll see everyone next week. We'll talk to you later. Goodbye, everybody.
Right.